tonight's first reading is Psalm 128, Psalm. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be happy, and it shall go well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like the olive shoots around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Our New Testament scripture today is going to be found in Matthew 13, 31 and 33, and verses 44 through 52. Jesus put forth the crowd in a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air cannot make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in joy he goes and sells all that he buys in that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one's pearl of great value, who went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into the basket and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasures what is new and what is old. Let us pray. Lord, as we move forward today in our time, let us take heed to what your scripture has for us to say. May our hearts and minds be open to what the Spirit has for us. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems that wherever I look throughout our society today, tension is on the rise. When I watch or read the news, there appears to be an issue in every facet of our lives. Day after day, we are bombarded with the news that our healthcare system is collapsing. Foreign governments are testing long-range missiles that can possibly reach our shores. Discussions over our national leadership or lack thereof. Police violence, police killings, voter rights suppression, LGBTQI rights, and the growing opioid abuse that is affecting our state are just a few of the issues that distribute tension into our society. As Christians in the church, we are caught in between our roles as moral faith and ethical agents for changing this world, while serving the communities and institutions we seek to change. Nevertheless, it's not uncommon for the church throughout its history to deal with issues of ethical tension. And today's pericope found in Matthew 13, 31-32, and 44-52, places us in the context of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus' parables were meant to maintain the tension between ethics and the second coming of Christ. Our challenge this morning as we move forward as a church is to continue to find ways to effectively proclaim what the kingdom of heaven is like in the midst of serving the communities and institutions we seek to change. Before we continue on with this text this morning, there are several things that we need to keep in mind. First, Matthew is writing in a time where he has great concern for the church. For Matthew, too many have chosen to follow Jesus are living lives that do not conform to the confession. For Matthew, genuine faith in Christ is a daily demonstration of obedience to what he proclaims. It is not enough just to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are required to do more. Second, Matthew is broken into five sections of teaching. First section, Jesus taught on the higher righteousness of a new community. Next, he continues with the mission of this new community. Ensuing, Jesus taught in parables, followed by his teachings on forgiveness and church discipline. And last, Jesus taught on the judgment to come. Our parables this afternoon are in the middle of the teaching arc, after his teaching on the righteousness and the mission of a new community. It is during this set of teaching where we see the growing estrangement from the crowd towards Jesus. And last, our passages are a collection of six parables in a chapter full of parables that describe the kingdom of heaven. The six parables are placed in pairs to emphasize a particular point. The first pair of parables are the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. The second pair of the parables are of the treasure, the man who finds the treasure, and of the merchant. And the last pair of parables are of the net and the parable of the old and the new. As we turn our attention back into the text, we are met with the first pair of parables. Verse 31 says, Jesus put forth before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took up and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make its nest in its branches. Jesus continued in on verse 32, and he said another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Parables in ancient times are not unusual modes of teaching methods. However, they are most often fictitious. Nevertheless, when Jesus used parables, he did so by incorporating elements of everyday life. These elements were meant for those who heard the parables to grasp the wider imagery being described. A mustard seed and yeast are items that are well known. They are also the smallest of everyday items. When their potential is met, they have enormous impact. In the case of the mustard seed, it becomes a large shrub. In the case of the yeast, the small amount that is added to the flour when leavened can double or even triple the original amount. In the case of our first parable, it is imperative for us to understand that the impact of these items have a direct correlation to God's action. In our next pair of parallels, we read in verse 44 through 35 that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in their joy, they go and sell all that they have to buy this field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. In verses 44 through 35, there is a shift in who Jesus is directly speaking to. The intention was now on the disciples and how they will respond. This would be the difference between the disciples and the crowd. The parable is about the response they should have. If they understood what the kingdom of heaven is like, they would respond the same way that the man did who found the treasure in his field and the merchant who found the pearl. It is the case of our second pair of parallels that is important for us to remember and to understand that the impact of hearing and understanding the parable is in the value of finding something and finding value in the kingdom of heaven. And when you do find it, that there is an all-out investment in it, because the kingdom of heaven worth everything you have. In our last pair of parables, we read in verse 47 to 50, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. that had been thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put it in a good basket, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire. And there will be weeping of gnashing of the teeth. We continue under verse 50 and 52. Have you understood all this? They answered yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasures, what is new and what is old. Out of all the parables in this passage, this section seems to be the most difficult and the most controversial. While this section has to deal with obedience and judgment, it also presents an uncomfortable imagery of judgment. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth depict the pain that seems harsh. Though those outside the church will often point to this text when disputing our image of a loving God. I understand that this can be a difficult imagery, however, it fits into the overall context of Matthew. As I mentioned to you before, Matthew is writing in a time where he has great concern for the church, and there are too many who have chosen to follow Jesus who are not living their lives conformed to their confessions of faith. It is not enough just to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We are required to do more. For Matthew, genuine faith in Jesus Christ is a daily demonstration of obedience to what we proclaim. This is why we see the same judgment imagery throughout Matthew. You see it in chapter 8, you see it in chapter 30, you see it in chapter 20. It is a reminder that faith and ethics are two sides of the same coin. And if they are not, it is counterfeit. And what Matthew is trying for us to understand is that the ones who will be separated at this particular time are the ones that are counterfeit. In that last session, the parable of the old and new refers to what happens when you and I or the disciples understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It turns into obedience, not just any kind of obedience, radical obedience, and a wholehearted commitment to living faithfully and ethically to what we proclaim. It is time to provide a new application to old tradition. The city of Indianapolis has gone through some changes these past few years in its appearance, and it looks much different from the city, much different city than when I came in 2007. Nevertheless, appearances are not all what it seems. Although we see revitalization throughout different areas, such as our downtown, Fountain Square, Irvington, Broad River, Catholic, and just to name a few, we can definitely continue to see the growing issues of poverty, mental health, homelessness, and violence that affect this city. How can it be that with all the change that has come into our city, issues such as these are still prevalent? How can it be that in a city where there are so many churches and people of faith, we are still struggling with these particular issues? As I mentioned to you before, our challenge this morning as we move forward as a church is to continue to find ways to effectively proclaim what the kingdom of heaven is like in the midst of serving the communities and institutions we seek to change. Our role as a church in the midst of the tensions that rise in the communities are to teach and to proclaim what the kingdom of heaven is like. In my time as a chaplain at Pendleton Juvenile Correctional Facility, we spent a lot of time talking to the young men. We had chapel service every Sunday. We had Bible studies. We had different events. And I can be assured that they heard the gospel God knows how many times. But one of the things that you will notice is what happens when you hear the gospel and understand it. It's interesting today as we listened to the children's message and as I saw the bulletin and a lot of things that talk about the mustard seed. As I did my research, the mustard seed in the tree is also
kind of taboo at that particular time. When we read about the mustard tree, in the scripture, Jesus calls it a shrub, right? But at that particular time in history, and even today, it's actually more like a weed. And I don't know about you, I can't stand weeds in my grass, right? No matter how much I spray, no matter how much I pull, they're still there, right? You can ask my son, he helped me pull out a bunch of them this past week, and he probably drove him crazy. But the reality is, Jesus was in a sense trying to be kind of funny at that particular time. What he was saying is, you know, what's going on is the moment that we plant this seed into the ground, the effect that it has in its neighborhood or in the ground is that it's there. And not only is it there, it's staying there. And it continues to grow. And it's so potent that you can't even get it out. You can get it out one or two times, but it's still there. And so as we talk about providing new applications to old traditions, the mustard seed is a symbol for us as a church to be those weeds in the community that they can't get rid of. Whenever there is violence that's going on and you speak up about it, they say, oh, here's these church people coming again. Whenever there's people who are hungry and we're providing them food, here are these church people again. And so the application of talking about God, so you know, in a sense, God's action of placing us into this particular places is so that you and I, the church, Christians, can continue to be the thorns, those weedy thorns in our community, to push them towards listening to what the gospel is asking us to do. Right? So we are responding to what Christ has asked us to do. And if we move on, you know, as I mentioned before, I know plenty of young men who heard the scripture, but I can only tell you that few of them heard and understood what it meant. And the reason why I say that is because when you understand the gospel, there is a response to that. One man, a young man I had the opportunity to work with, he stood with us for about 2.5 years. It wasn't because of what he did, but it was more because he couldn't find placement, wasn't able to leave because he didn't have a place to live. And what I can say to you is I've had plenty of young men tell me that I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Oh, I've accepted what the gospel is saying. But very few do what this man did. Right. And what I noticed about his life, and as I read this passage, it stuck out to me. He was very much like the individual in the passage that talked about the hidden treasure, the man who found it, sold everything he can to buy that field, or the merchant who, looking for a specific pearl that he found it, sold it, right, so that he can purchase it. And what I mean by that is that when you gravitate towards the gospel, when you gravitate towards the fact that the kingdom of heaven is like a beautiful person, right? A person you love. You do everything possible in order to take care of it and sustain it. And so for us, as we talk about the gospel in our community, it's important for us to show that, right? How valuable those things are I forget your name.
April.
As April mentioned before, she said, I hope you see that, you know, children are important to us, right? It's it, right? We heard that during the children's summer. So it's important for us to understand that if we are gravitating towards the gospel and we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, like X, Y, and Z, it's important for us to invest into the things that we deem are important. Because the moment we invest into those things that are important, we're going to see the fruits of those particular things, right? So in the first two paragraphs, it's about God's action and what happens. The second is about how you and I respond. And it's very important for us to when we hear the word of God and we leave these places on Sunday, not just to grab it and go back home and sit down and enjoy the rest of our evening, but it's how we're going to respond once we hear what God has told us. Linwood Christian Church has been around for 100 years plus, right? 100 plus years. So you have been in this neighborhood. You probably, I don't believe anyone here since it opened, but those who have been here for a long time have seen things change in this process, right? And the church during that time has adapted its ministries to address those changes. You have clothing drives. You have the food pantry. You have things that are meeting the needs of the community. But it's imperative for us to understand that in order for us to address the needs of poverty, to address the needs of hunger, to address the needs that are in our community, we have to start proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is black. And what I mean by that is our challenge for ourselves as a church is that when we leave this place, God is calling us to respond to what we give to. And so today, down here, one of the things that I wanted to finish up by is I would like everyone to take the opportunity today, whether you write it here on a piece of paper, is to write what the kingdom of heaven is like. And what I mean by that, as I said before, parables that in which Jesus used, used everyday things, right? Everyday life. And so, what is the kingdom of heaven like to you? That in order for you to share that with our community. So the kingdom of heaven is like, and I'm just going to use the analogy, alright, I apologize. The kingdom of heaven is like a fine wine. It gets better with age. And that's just an analogy, right? Meaning that, and this is for the young and the old, right? Just because you're young and you're vitalized and you're full of energy doesn't mean you're better, right? So it's saying that anyone of any age and capacity has the ability to address the needs of our community, right? So my challenge for you today, if anyone would like to come, and I think that's something that you can leave up here, that's something that you can talk to your pastor, Carolyn, when she comes back, is like, the kingdom of heaven is like this, right? And what happens when you start talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like? What is your response going to be? And what is and the challenge for us as a church is to continue to apply new applications to the traditions that we have. And so I pray that as you are, as your pastor is on sabbatical, and as you're enjoying your summer, and as you're getting ready to go back to school and to work this week, and as you're preparing yourself to receive your pastor when she comes back from sabbatical, is to ask yourself once again, you know, what is the kingdom of heaven like? God bless, and thank you so much for having me this morning.